Okay, good morning. Today's daf is Sota Daf Lamed Vav. Today's Gemara is going to continue with a discussion of the crossing of the Yarden. It's going to talk about the formation of the Bnei Yisrael on Har Gerizim and Har Eval, how the Shvatim were divided. We had said earlier in the Gemara that when the Bnei Yisrael crossed the Yarden, they got to Har Gerizim and Har Eval. Six of the Shvatim went up to Har Gerizim, six of the Shvatim went up to the top of Har Eval. The Kohanim and the Levim and the Aaron were in the middle, and the Levim mentioned the Brachos and Klolos, and everybody on both mountains said Amen. So the Gemara is going to discuss what formation the Shvatim stood in, who was with whom on top of Har Gerizim and Har Eval. And then on Amud Beis, we're going to spend a lot of time talking about Yosef and amazing Gemaras of Daf Yomi coincidence nature over here, because we're going to darshan many of the psukim that are in this coming week's Parshas Vayeshev, which talks about the story of Yosef and Eshes Potiphar. So again, continuing just with a lot of agadata. So we had left off yesterday towards the bottom of Lamed Hey Amud Beis. We were talking about a machlokes of as machlokes between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon as to whether when Klal Yisrael crossed the Yarden and when they took these stones and they erected the stones on the other side of the Yarden and they covered them with the sid, with the lime, and they wrote the Torah in 70 languages, we had brought down a machlokes Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon whether the words of the Torah were written underneath the limestone or whether they were written on top of the limestone. And we had said that if they were written underneath the limestone, what was the purpose? Because you were writing the words of the Torah in 70 languages and then you were covering them up with a limestone. So the Gemara had said, no, well, the Yumos HaOlam were able to send Sofrim, and the Sofrim were able to peel off the limestone, and they were able to see the Torah that was written, so they were able to gain access to the words of the Torah, even though they were covered up with limestone. And Reb Shimon said, well, you know, what would appear to be more Pashut, which is that, no, they had the stones, they covered them with limestone, then they wrote the words of the Torah on top of the limestone, so the words of the Torah were there for everybody to see. And we're going to pick up where it said that Reb Shimon had said that underneath the words of the Torah, it said, "Laman asher lo yilamdu eschem lasos kechol mitzvos." Right, because you chose not to do the mitzvos. And what Rav Shimon learns from here is this is about eight lines down from the bottom. Halamadata shema yuchozer b'tshuva yimakablonos. And that if the umas olam would be chozer b'tshuva, then we would accept them as chozrei b'tshuva. We would accept them as balei tshuva. So now the Gemara says seven lines up from the bottom on Lamed Hayim Abayz, which is where we'll pick up from. So Rava Bar Shila says, "My time at the Rabbi Shimon." What's the reason of Rabbi Shimon who says that the words of the Torah were written on top of the limestone? And it says that the nations are misrafos sid. They're burnt on account of sid. So what does that mean? So what it means is al iske sid, that they are burned on account of the sid, meaning they're burned on account of the fact that they choose not to follow the Torah, which is written on top of the limestone. It's readily accessible to them, yet they don't pursue it. They don't follow it. Rav Yehuda says that the words of the Torah were written underneath the limestone, in which case it's not the Umos Olam's fault that they're not following the Torah, because how should they know what's written in the Torah? So Rav Yehuda says, Ki Sid. It's the Umos Olam are like Sid. What does that mean? Ma Sid ain lo takon el esreifa. Just like Sid has no takana except to burn it. Afos and akutim ain lam takana les reifa. So too, those kutim only have a takana through sreifa. In other words, there is no ability for these umos ha'olam to actually do tshuva. That they're doomed to sreifa. They're doomed to gehenim. Kaman oz lahadatanya v'shavisa shivyo. And now, who is this like? Where we say in a brisa, it says in the pasuk by Eishes Yefas Toar v'shavisa shivyo, and you capture. And you capture a captive in war. So the rabos kananim shebechutz laaretz shem chozrim b'tshuva mekablu nosan. And we learn that this comes to include the kananim and chutz laaretz, that if they would be chozer b'tshuva, then we would accept the tshuva of these, then we would accept the tshuva of these people. So come on, Reb Shimon. So that holds like Reb Shimon, because Reb Shimon had said that if the Umas Olam would be Chozer B'tshuva, then we would accept them as Chozer B'tshuva. So Rashi explained that this pasuk here about V'shavisa Shavyo is dealing with the Melchemes or Rishus in Chutz Laretz, and it talks about permitting a Yifas Toar to live. So obviously, there's no requirement to kill the Shiva Umos when they're outside of Eretz Yisrael to the extent they want to be Chozer B'tshuva. So the backdrop of all this is that before the Bnei Yisrael were sent into Eretz Yisrael, went into Eretz Yisrael to conquer Eretz Yisrael, they were told that they had to eradicate the Zion Umos in Eretz Yisrael. So if there's a member of the Zion Umos in Eretz Yisrael, then they have to be killed. However, if there's a member of the Zion Umos outside of Eretz Yisrael, the question is, are these Umos Olam doomed to Gehenim? Are they sort of fair game because they're considered as if dead anyway? Or do we say no, that if they would be Chozer B'tshuva, then you would be allowed to permit them to live? So this pasuk, which is talking about Yefas Toar, and is dealing with the Mechemes or Rishos in Chutz Laretz, but says that you're allowed to permit this Yefas Toar to live, obviously holds like Rav Shimon, who said that if the Umas Olam would do tshuva, then we would accept them as Chozrei B'tshuva, and it's only those people in Eretz Yisrael who are included in the pasuk of Lusachaya Kol Neshama. However, Rav Yehuda again had said that they're all included in the pasuk of Lusachaya Kol Neshama because Rav Yehuda writes them off. He does not believe that they possess the capacity to ever be Chozer B'tshuva, and therefore there's no reason to keep them alive. So we have here Machlokas, Rav Yehuda, and Rav Shimon. So says the Gemara on the top of Lamed Vava Med Aleph, Barei Kama Nisim Nasu Bo. Come and see how many Nisim were performed for the Bnei Yisrael on that day when they crossed the Yarden. So Avri Yisrael is a Yarden. So one Nis is obviously that the Bnei Yisrael crossed the Yarden, that the water stopped flowing. Ubo lahar grizim lahar evil yesem yishishamil. And they traveled in a single day, all of Klal Yisrael, more than 60 mil, all the way to Har Grizim and Har Evel. So you'll recall at the beginning, you'll recall last week, towards the end of the week, on Friday of Shabbos, we had a machlokes, Rav Yud and Rav Lezer, Rav Shimon, whether Har Grizim and Har Evel that are mentioned here were on the eastern side of Eretz Yisrael, closer to the Yarden, or if they were on the western side of Eretz Yisrael, closer to Shechem and Elone Mora, and further away from the Yarden. So this Brisa holds like Rav Yehuda, who says that Har Grizim and Har Evel were on the western side of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it's included in one of the Nisim that occurred on that day, that the Bnei Yisrael were able to travel all the way from the Yarden all the way to Har Grizim and Har Evel, which were on the western side of Eretz Yisrael. Because if we would hold like Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, who says that Har Grizim and Har Evel were right near the Yarden, then there wouldn't be such a big Nis that they traveled to Har Grizim and Har Evel if they were in close proximity to the Yarden. So this Bryce obviously holds like Rabbi Yehuda. This is one of the Nisim. Ve'in kol b'riya yechol olama b'fneim, and nobody was able to stand in the way of Klal Yisrael, and anybody who would try to stand in the way of Klal Yisrael, miyad nitras, they would immediately lose control of their bowel. Shenemar, esei mosi eshalach lefanecha, I will send my fright, my fear before you, v'amoti es kol ha'am asher tavo b'hem, and I will kill any nation that comes to try to stand in your way. V'yomar, tipol aleihem emasav afachad, that great fear shall befall the other nations. Ad yavar amcha Hashem, zubia rishon. This pasuk that we have in Oz Yosher refers to the Bia Rishona, the first entrance into Eretz Yisrael that the Bnei Yisrael experienced during the days of Yehoshua, and Ad Yavoram Zukanisa, and the second reference in the pasuk of Ad Yavoram Zukanisa Zu Bia Shnia. This is the Bia Shnia. This is the second entrance of the Bnei Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael in the days of Ezra. So Amar Meyata. So we deduce from the comparison of Ad Yavor Amcha Hashem Ad Yavoram Zukanisa that Reuyin Hayu Yisrael Lasos Lem Neis Bevia Shnia Kavia Rishona, that the Bnei Yisrael were worthy of a Neis of Nisim having occurred to them at the Bia Shnia when they returned in the days of Ezra, just like they experienced so many Nisim in the days of Yehoshua when they entered Eretz Yisrael for the first time. Ela Shagora Machet. However, they were deprived of all these Nisim because of the Chataim that they performed during the time of the Bias Rishon. And we know that why was the Bias Rishon destroyed? The Bias Rishon was destroyed because the Bnei Yisrael were being over on the three cardinal sins. All right, so all of the So all of the averos that the Bnei Yisrael were doing during the days of the Bayis Rishon prevented them from being worthy enough from experiencing the Nisim when they entered or when they re-entered Eretz Yisrael in the days of Ezra. Now, after, again, getting back to what happened after they crossed the Yarden, and after that they brought the Avanim, ubanum lesa mizbeach, and they built a mizbeach, fasadu besid, and they covered the stones in limestone, v'kavar in lime, v'kosvu alayim, is called divrei Torah b'shivim lashon, and they wrote all the words of the Torah in 70 languages. Shenemar, as it says, Ba'er heitev. It says Ba'er heitev. So how is this an allusion? How does Ba'er heitev mean that they wrote it in 70 languages? So the Maharal explains that the remez is in the gematria of all of the letters of the word heitev. So if you take the first letter, which is hey, which is 5, and then the first two letters, which is an aggregate of 15, so you're up to 20, and then the first three letters, which is 24, so now you're up to 44, and then you take the gematria of the first four letters, which is 26, because you're adding the base at the end, so now you have 24 plus 26, then you know, you have 5 plus 15 plus 24 plus 26 equals 70. So there's a remez that the word heitev is a reference to the Torah being explained in 70 languages. Now, what exactly was written on these stones? We had alluded to this machlokas, maybe mentioned this briefly a couple of days ago, but just to reiterate that there's a big machlokas over here as to exactly what was written. Some mafarshim explain that the entire Torah was written on all of these stones, which would be L'chora, another nace, right? To write the entire Torah on a single stone. We know the stones were big and the stones were heavy, but to write the entire Torah down would be phenomenal, given the amount of space that was there. Other Mefarshim explain, no, that they only wrote down Sefer Dvarim. Others say that they only wrote down the Taryag Mitzvos, but they didn't write down the rest of the Torah. And others yet say that they only wrote down the Brachos and Klalos. But whatever it was, there was some either entire Torah or some distillation of the Torah that was written on these stones in 70 languages. Ve'aleo olos u'shlamim, and they brought olos and shlamim, ve'achlu v'shasu v'samchu, and they ate and they drank and they rejoiced, u'barchu v'kilalu, and they blessed and they cursed. What does it mean they cursed? So this barchu v'kilalu, we'll see, the pashup shot is that it's a reference to the brachos and klalos that were said on Har Grizim and Har Eval. Ve'kiplu es avanim, and they dismantled the avanim, u'bo v'lona b'gilgal, and then they encamped in Gilgal, and they erected the avanim in Gilgal as a mizbeach, as a monument. Shenemar, v'yavartem osam imachem, v'yinachtem osam b'malon, that you have to take them with you and you have to place them at your resting place. So Yachal B'chol Malon Malon, I might think that you have to erect these stones in each and every resting place along the way, that wherever Klal Yisrael traveled in Eretz Yisrael, they had to bring these stones with them. Tamalamar Asher Talino Bo Alayla, that it's only that they had to erect these stones where they would sleep that night. It was only where they went the first night in Gilgal. V'chsiv V'eshteim Esrei Avonim O'Ela Asher Lachu, and it makes a reference to these stones that they took. The Ben Yoyada explains that there were 5 Nisim that occurred to the Bnei Yisrael on the day that they crossed the Yarden. Number 1 is that they crossed the Yarden on dry land, so that's Nes number 1. Number 2, as we mentioned in the Gemara, they traveled 60 mil all the way across Eretz Yisrael to the western side, according to Rabbi Yehuda, to Har Grizim and Har Eval in a single day. Number 3, nobody was able to stand in their way out of fear. Number 4, whoever tried to stand in their way was smitten, lost control of their bowels. And number 5, even though part of the day was consumed by traveling through the Yarden all the way to Har Grizim, there was enough time to build a mizbeach, cover it in sid, write the Torah in 70 languages, offer karbanas, the drink and rejoice, and then recite the brachos and klalos, and dismantle the stones and go to Gilgal. So the Ben Yoyada says that itself was a huge nace that they were able to do all of this stuff in a single day. The Gruss says that he's bothered by the Braisa because chronologically the brachos and klalos were recited before they offered the olos and the shlamim and they rejoiced with the eating and drinking, and therefore he gets rid of the word klalos over here in the Braisa, and he says that the bracha over here refers to birchas hamazon. So what's the chiddush? Why would it tell me here that the bracha refers to birchas hamazon? So the Gruss explains because we know that Yeshua was misaking the bracha of no delay Shilucha when Klal Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael. And that's why over here, the first time that they entered into Eretz Yisrael and they were able to bench with the bracha of Nodalecha in benching, that's why it's noteworthy. And the Braisa mentions that the Baruch Hu that they benched, Kitikunam, that they benched with the bracha of Yehoshua once they had entered into Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so says the Gemara Vayter, now a little bit more than halfway down on Lamed Vav Amid Aleph. Satana, so we have in a Braisa, Tzira lo Avri Imayim. The Tzira did not cross the Yarden with them. The Tzira was a type of flying insect that helped the Bnei Yisrael in their battles in the time of Moshe on the eastern side of the Yarden, and the Tzira used to shoot venom in the eyes of their enemies. So the Tzira, this flying venomous insect, did not cross the Yarden. Below, no, Vaksiv, Vishilachti is the Tzira Lefanecha. The Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the Bnei Yisrael that I'm going to send the Tzira in front of you into Eretz Yisrael to help clear your way. So Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Alsfasa Yarden Amda, it did not cross into Eretz Yisrael. It flew, or it hovered on the edge of the Yarden, Vizarka Bem Mara, It spread its, it shot its venom across the Yarden, Bisimsoinea Milamala, and it blinded them from up above, Visursa Milamata, and it castrated them from down below, it was Masaris them from down below. Shenemar Vaanochi Hishmadati Esamori Mibneem, Asher Kagova Arozim Gavu, Vachasunhukelonim, that I will smite the Emori who are as tall as cedar trees and as mighty as tall oaks, the Ashmid Piryav Mimal, and I will destroy its peros mimal up above. That's a reference to the blinding them in the eye. Vishrashav mitachas, and I will destroy their roots from below. That's a reference to being misares them with the venom of the sira that was able to shoot its venom across the Yarden and blind and be misares the emori. So Rapapa Amar Shtei Tziros Havi. You don't have to say that it was hovering on the side of the Yarden. You could answer simply that there were two tziras, Chada de Moshe, one in the days of Moshe, v'chada di Yeshua, and another tzira in the days of Yeshua. The Moshe lo avar di Yeshua avar. The tzira of Moshe Rabbeinu Taka did not cross the Yarden, but the tzira of Yeshua did cross the Yarden. That's why there was a tzira there that was shooting its venom at the Emori in Eretz Yisrael. So says the Gemara now, again, discussing the formation of the Shvatim, who went on top of our Grizim and who went on our Evil. So Shisha Shvatim Olu L'Rosh HaGrizim, Shisha Shvatim Olu L'Rosh, Olu L'Rosh HaGrizim, and then it says, Ve'achetzio on Har Evil. So says the Gemara, my Ve'achetzio, why does it say that Chetzio were on Har Grizim and Ha-Chetzio were on Har Evil? So Rashi says that when it says Ve'achetzio, it's mashma that it's mashma either like a very special half, which is why it's like a Hey Ayadia, Ha-Chetzio, and it's a very special half, which is on Har Evil, or it's mashma the half that was mentioned earlier, right? In other words, if I say half the people did something, and then I say, oh, and the half, I'm referring to the half that I mentioned at first. So if I say that half of Klal Yisrael went up to Har Grizim, and the half went on to Har Evil, it's obviously not the same half that went up to Har Grizim, because it was 50-50, or 6 Shvatim and 6 Shvatim. So what does the half refer to? When was this mentioned earlier? So Rav Kahana, says, Kederach Shechalukim Kan, Kachalukim Bavnei Ephod. Now, it's because the way that Klal Yisrael, the way that the Shvatim were arranged on the top of Har Grizim and Har Evil, is the same way that they were arranged on the stones of the ephod. So when it says vehachetzio, it means that the six, in other words, the same six shvatim whose names were written on one of the Avnei Ephod, those were the ones that went on to Har Evel. So the Gemara is now going to ask a kasha from a lengthy brisa, where we're going to see that according to both Mandi Yomra mentioned here, the order of the Shvatim on our Grizim and our Evil are not the way that they were written on the Avnei Ephod. So says the Gemara like this. So Meisve Shtei Avanim Tovos Hoyelo the Kohen Gadol Al Kseifav. There were two Avanim Tovos, two precious stones on the shoulders of the Kohen Gadol. Achas Mikan VaAchas Mikan VShmos Shneim Asar Shvatim Kosav Aleim. And the names of the 12 shvatim were written on them. Shisha 11 Zu VShisha 11 Zu. Six on one of the Avnei Ephod and six on the other one of the Avanim. Shenemar, Shisha Mishmosam, Alo Even Echaz, and the other six on the second stone. Shnia Ketoldo Sam, below Rishona Ketoldo Sam. The second stone was written in the order of their birth, but not the first one, but the first one was not written in the order of the birth. Why? Mimnesha Yehuda Muktam, because Yehuda was written earlier. So what does this mean? So if you look in Rashi over here, so Rashi, the second to last Rashi on the page, says, Kisoldo Sam, Kiseder Le Dasam, that Shisha Achronim Kisidram, the last six shvatim, which were written on the second stone of the ephod, were written in the order of their birth. It was Gad, Asher, Yisachar, Zvolun, Yosef, Ubinyamin. That was the order of their birth. Zehu Seder Leidasan. Veshisha Rishonim Nichtevu Ba. The first six Shvatim written on the first stone were written in the following order: Yehuda, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Dan, Venaftali, Kaseder Leidasan, Chutzmi Yehuda. So this is in the order of their birth, except Yehuda is taken out of his natural spot after Levi and before Dan, and he's brought all the way to the beginning. So that's what it means, that the second stone, all the Shvatim, the last six Shvatim, were written in the order of their birth. On the first stone, it was written in the order of the birth, except for Yehuda, who was brought to the front of the line. Now, V'chamishim osiyos hayu, and there were 50 letters in the names of all the Shvatim, Esrim v'chamesh aleven zu, v'esrim v'chamesh aleven zu, 25 on the first stone, 25 on the second stone. The Gemara later on the Amud Beis is going to ask, no, there weren't. There were 25 on the first stone, but only 24 on the second stone. So that is the first view of this brisa, that they were written in that order. Now, Rav Chanina ben Gamliel says, "Lo kederech shechaluka mechumash hapikudim chaluka mavnei eifod." It's not in the way that they were written in Devarim, that they're counted in Sefer Bamidbar, not in the order in which they were written in Sefer Bamidbar, where they're written in the Avnei Eifod. Lo kederech shechaluka mechumash sheni. They were written on the Avnei Eifod the way that they're in the order that they're mentioned in Chumash Sheni. What's Chumash Sheni? Chumash Sheni is Sefer Shmos, famous Varda than Netziv, that the reason that Chumash Shmos is called Chumash Sheni is to show the Hekesh, the connection between Sefer Bereshis, which is the first Sefer, and Sefer Shmos, which is the second Sefer, to show that the entire Tachlis of Bria Shemayim and Eretz, which we talk about in Sefer Bereshis, was culminated with Matan Torah, with Kabbalah Satorah, which took place in Sefer Shmos, that the entire world was created for the sake of Klal Yisrael receiving the Torah. And to underscore this connection, that's why we call Sefer Shmos Sefer Sheni, to show that it's a Hemsheikh of Sefer Bereshis, which is Sefer Rishon. So says the Netziv. So anyway, so Ketzad, so how was it written according to this Mandi Amar, according to this view in the Brisa on the Avnei Eifod? So B'nei Leah Kesidron. The B'nei Leah were written in order. So it was Reuven, Shimon, Levi. It was Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Dan, V'Naftali. And then the B'nai Rachel, Echas Mikan, Vechas Mikan, U'B'nai Shvachos Bemsa. So the B'nai Rachel were written one, and on the second stone, the B'nai Rachel were written one in the beginning, one in the end, so Yosef in the beginning, Binyamin in the end, and the B'nai Shvachos were, and the B'nai Shvachos were in the, and the B'nai Shvachos were in the middle. So Rashi over here says, B'chumashani, how were they counted? It says, Velishmos, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvolun, Bechad Mehem, and then on the second one, it says, Binyamin, Dan, Naftali, Gad, Asher, Yosef. So I was wrong. It was Binyamin in first. Binyamin written number one on the second stone. Yosef written last on the second stone. And the B'nai Shvachos, you had Dan, Naftali, Gad, Asher in the middle. However, the children of Leah were written in order of their birth. Now, Ve'ela Ma'ani Mekayim Ketoldosam. So in that case, what does it mean, Ketoldosam? If you want to tell me that they were written in the order of their birth, so why was Binyamin written the first one on the second stone, and why was Yosef written the last one on the second stone? So it means, Kishmosam Shekarlem Avim Velo Kishema Shekarlem Moshe. That, in other words, that they were written on the ephod in the way that their father called them their names, and the way that Yaakov Avinu gave their names, and not the way that Moshe gave their names. What does it mean? How did Moshe give their names? How did Moshe refer to them? So it says, Reuven velo Reuveni, Shimon velo Shimoni, Dan velo Hadani, Gad velo Agadi, so on and so forth. So, to Yufta Darav Kahana. So this is all Akasha on Rav Kahana, because Rav Kahana says that they were written on the Avnei HaEphod the same way they stood on Har Gerizim and Har Eval. So, and that's obviously not the case, because over here we had two dais. The Tanakhama says that on the first stone it was Yehuda, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Dan, and Naphtali, and on the second stone it was Gad, Asher, Yisachar, Zvulun, Yosef, and Yamin. Rav Chanina ben Gamliel had said that on the first stone it was Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun. So the first six Shvatim, and the second one was the second six, except a little out of order, where it said Binyamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Yosef. However, the way that they sit on Har Gerizim and Har Eval is, if you look at the Parshios on Har Gerizim, it was Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Yosef, and Binyamin. So it's all mixed up here. And on Har Eval, it was Reuven, Gad, Asher, Zvulun, Dan, and Naphtali. So the way that they were written on the way that they stood on Har Gerizim and Har Eval is not like any of these deos. The way that they were written on the Avnei HaEphod. So the Kasha returns in that case, if the way that they stood on Har Gerizim and Har Eval is not like any of these Mandi Amrim in the way they were written on the Ephod, what does it mean when it says Vehechetzio? What does it mean when it says and the half? It's not referring to the half that's written on the Avnei HaEphod, because we've now established that the way that they stood on Har Gerizim and Har Eval is not like the way that they were written on the Ephod. So Tiyufta, you're right, it's a Kasha. It's a kasha. So what does it mean vachetziav? So what does it mean if it's not the way that it was written? If the way that they stood in Har Gerizim and Har Eval is not the way that it was written on the Avnei HaEphod, so what does vachetziav mean? What is that hey referring to? Satana chetzio shalmul Har Gerizim meruba mechetzio shal Har Eval. The half that stood on Har Gerizim were greater than the half that stood on Har Eval. Why? Mimnesha Levi lamata. Because Shevet Levi stood below, right? We had said that the Kohanim and the Levim weren't actually on top of Har Gerizim. They were in the middle. They were between the two mountains. They were down on the bottom and administering the brachos and klolos. And and Levi was included with the Shvatim that otherwise was mentioned as standing on top of Har Gerizim. So says the Gemara, that makes no sense. Adarab, Mnesha Levi Lamata, Butzri Lahu. If Levi was one of the Shvatim that was counted as standing on top of Har Gerizim, but really they were down below, so does it make sense that the people on Har Gerizim outnumber the people on Har Eval? It should be less on top of Har Gerizim, because Levi was counted among them, but the Shevet Levi actually stood down below, so it should have been fewer people, not more people. So says the Gemara Hachi Kamar, Afal Pisha Levi Lamata Bnei Yosef Imahem. Even though Shevet Levi stood down below in between the two mountains, nevertheless there were more people on Har Gerizim than there were on Har Eval, because Yosef, Shevet Yosef, stood together with the other Shvatim on Har Gerizim. Shenemar Vaidabru Bnei Yosef al Yoshua Leimar Madua Natatali Nachla Goral Echad. Why did you give me only one Goral Vechevel Echad Vani Amrav? So we learned that Shevet Yosef was very populous. They were very large Shevet, and therefore the people on Har Gerizim outnumber the people on Har Eval, even though Shevet Levi was on top of Har Gerizim and stood down below, because Shevet Yosef was with them, and Shevet Yosef had a lot of people. So Vayomer Aleim Yoshua, and Yoshua said to them, getting back to the conversation between Yoshua and Yosef, and Shevet Yosef, Im Amravata, if you are a great nation, Alo Alei Lecha Yara, go hide in the forest, so that you shouldn't be attacked with an ayin hara. You shouldn't be subject to an ayin hara. Samar lam lechuva ichpu atz mechem biyarim. Go hide yourself in the forest. Shalot tishlot bechem ayin hara. Samar lay. So they said, no, we don't have to worry about that. Zari di Yosef lo shalta be'ein abisha. The ayin hara doesn't have any power over the offspring of Yosef atzadik. Lechsev ben poras Yosef ben poras ali ayin. It says ben poras Yosef ben poras ali ayin. Vamar avavo alti kore ali ayin ela. Ole Ayin. Don't read the pasuk. Ali Ayin, read it Ole Ayin. What does Ole Ayin mean? That they're above the Ayin Hara. They're above the evil eye. That the evil eye has no power over the offspring of Yosef. Rav Yosef, Rav Chanina says from this pasuk, V'yidgul l'ro b'ker of Aretz, that's the bracha that it says by Yosef. So, ma dagam shabayam mayim mechasen aleim v'ein ayin shaletas bahem. Just like the fish in the water, they're covered. In other words, where you think you see the fish, you don't really see them because of the refraction refraction of the light, Vein Ayin Shaletzes Bahem. Av Zara Shel Yosef, Ein Ayin Shaletzes Bahem. Also, the children of Yosef, the Ayin Hara has no power over them. So says the Gemara, let's get back to something that we mentioned in this Brisa about the way that the Shvatim, that the Shem of Shvatim were written on Har Grizim and Har Evel. It said that there were six names written on, the names that there were written on the Avnei Ephod. It said that there were six names written on one of the Avonim, six names written on the other Evan, 50 letters in total between the two, 25 on this stone, 25 on that stone. So it says in the Gemara, Chamishim Osios, Chamishim Nechichada Havan. There aren't 50 letters, there are only 49 letters in the names of all the Shvatim if you count them up. So Rav Yitzchak, Yosef Osifalo Os Achas. They added one letter to Yosef's name, Shenemar Edus B'Yosef Shamo B'Tseso Al Eretz Mitzrayim. That he's called Yehosef. So says the Gemara, well, Maskeflo Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Kitoldosam Be'inan. You had told me that they were written on the Avnei HaEphod Kitoldosam with the name that Yaakov Avinu called them. Now Yaakov Avinu called Yosef Yosef, not Yehosef. So says the Gemara, Elakola Torah Kula Binyamin Ksiv. In the entire Torah Binyamin is written Chaser, Vahacha Binyamin Shalem. And on the Avnei HaEphod Binyamin is written Male. Kedichsiv Va'aviv Karalo Binyamin. And it says that his father called him Binyamin, and again, this fits well, because we were saying that the names of the Shvatim were written in the same manner in which Yaakov Avinu called them. Yaakov Avinu called Binyamin Benyamin with Male. That's why it was written Male on the name of the Ephod. So the Mepharshim say it's not true that Binyamin is always written Chaser in the Sefer Torah. Sometimes he's written Chaser, sometimes he's written Male. What it means is that he's mainly, most of the time, the majority of the time, he's written Chaser, but nevertheless, we write him Male because that's what Yaakov Avinu called him. As opposed to Yosef, Yosef is never called Yehosef in the Chumash. That's why he would not be written like that on the Avnei HaEphod. I'm Rav Chana Bar Bizna, I'm Rav Shimon Chasida. So it says Rav Chana Bar Bizna, the name of Rav Shimon Chasida. Yosef Shekida Shem Shemayim B'Seser. Yosef, who was Mekadesh Shem Shemayim B'Seser, we're now going to embark on this great Tafyomi coincidence that Yosef, who was Mekadesh Shem Shemayim B'Seser, Rusifo Olav Achas, Os Achas Mishmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He had one letter of the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Hey, added to his name, Yehosef. And Yehuda Shekida Shem Shemayim B'Farhesia. Yehuda was Mekadesh Shem Shemayim B'Farhesia, Nikra Kulo Al Shmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His entire name consists of, you know, he has all of the letters of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his name. If you discount the Dalet, he has a Yod, a K, a Vav, and a K. How was Yehuda Mekadesh Shem Shemayim? So we'll see either that people, members of Shevet Yehuda jumped into the Yamsuf first, or he was Mekadesh Shem Shemayim with the Mice of Tamar, also this week's Parsha, where he admitted that he had relations with his daughter-in-law Tamar. So mahi. So what does this mean? Tichsiv vayika yom azeh. So what's this ma'isa of Yosef when he was mekadesh shem shemayim betzina beseser? So mahi tichsiv vayika yom azeh. It was on that day vayavo abaisa lasus malachta that Yosef went to the house of Potiphar to do his malacha. So what does it mean? Amar Rav Yochanan melamed sheshneim ledvar everu niskavnu, that they both were miskaven to a dvar aveir. So Rav Shmuel, this is brought down in Rashi on this week's parsha, brings down from the Medrash. Chadam or lasos malachto mamish. One says that he went to do his malacha mamish. V'chadam or lasos tzrachav nichnas, that he went to have relations with Eishes Potiphar. Ve'inish me'anshe abayisham, and there was nobody from the house there. So efshar bayis gadol kabesa shaloso Russia aloha yabo ish. Is it possible that there was such a huge house that this Russia had, that Potiphar had, and all the house there was nobody there? Has that possible? So Tana debay Rabbi Shmuel osu ayom yom chagam. That day was the day of their celebration. It was the day of their yontif because the Nile had overflown and irrigated all of the fields. And they said they were celebrating the Nile River. That's what Rashi brings down in this week's parsha. They all went to the base of Avodas Kochavim to daven and to celebrate Shalem. The he Amra Lahen, and she said to everybody, Cholahi, that she was sick. Amra, because she said to herself, Ein li yom sheniskak li Yosef ki yom zeh. I will never find a day where I will be able to entice Yosef like this day, because everybody is away, I'll be here, I'll be alone with Yosef, I'll be able to seduce him. But to Spaseo Bibigdo, she grabbed his beged lemor, Beosa Shah, Basa Dyukno Shal Aviv, an appearance of his father appeared to Yosef in the window of Nero Sola Bachalon. And appear the Demus Dyukno Shal Yaakov appeared to Yosef in the window. So Amar Lo, and it said to Yosef like this, Asidan Achicha Sheikhtivu Al Avne Ephod, that the names of your brothers will be written on the Avne Ephod Vatabinayim, and you're going to be written among them. Ritzoncha Sheimcha Shimcha Mibinayim, do you want your name to be erased from among them? Batikra Roa Zonas, and you'll be called a Roa Zonas, that the Roa Zonos will lose their wealth. Miyad Vatesha based on Kashto. Immediately his Aver returned to its natural state. He was no longer aroused, and he decided that he was going to conquer his Yetzer. So one of the Achronim brings down a tremendous, fantastic vart here on Yaved Hon. What does it mean, Yaved Hon? That he's going to lose Hon. So it says that on the name of the Ephod, not only were the names of the Shvatim written, but after the names of each of the Shvatim, the names of the Avos were broken out after them. So they had the letters of the name Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and also Shifte Yeshurun, which were written down on the names of the various stones of the Ephod. And on Yosef's name, the Vav Nun of Yeshurun was written down on Yosef's stone. So it comes out that if you take the name Yosef and you view it as Yehosef, right? Because one of the Mount Amram we said had added a hey to the name. So if you take the name, if you take the hey from Yehosef plus the Vav and the Nun of the word Yeshurun, which was written on Yosef's stone, so you have Hon, hey, Vav, Nun. So Roazona's Yabet Hon. If you're not written on the stones of the Ephod, then you're going to lose Hon. You're going to lose those letters, that great wealth of being placed on the Avne Ephod. So back in the Gemara, some Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Meir, Sheshava Kashto Le Sano, that his organ returned to his prior state. He conquered his Yetzahara. The Yefuz Zroa, Yadav Noatz Yadav Bekarka, he dug his fingers into the ground. The Yatza Shechva Zara Mibain Siparne Yadav. And the Shechva Zara escaped not from his Aver, but from between his fingernails somehow. Midei Aver Yaakov, mi garam lo sheyichakek al Avne Ephod, who caused that the name of Yosef should be written on the Avne Ephod? Ela Aver Yaakov. It was Aver Yaakov who was the appearance of Yaakov Avinu. Misham Roa Evan Yisrael, Misham Zacha Venasa Roa. From there, Yosef was Zocha to become a Roa. Shenema Roa Yisrael Hazina Noe Katzon Yosef. He's referred to the shepherd of Klal Yisrael. Tanya Hayaroi Yosef Lotzes Mimena Yud Bei Shvatim Kederach Sheyotzim Yaakov Aviv. That Yosef was worthy enough that 12, he should have fathered 12 Shvatim just like his father Yaakov did. Shenemar Eila told us Yaakov Yosef, so we see that Yosef was equally worthy of having 12 Shvatim descend from him. Ela Sheyatza Shechva Zara Mimein Siparne Yada, but the Shechva Zara that otherwise would have been used to create 12 Shvatim had escaped from his fingernails, and he was left only with his two sons. Nevertheless, the balance of the twelve Shvatim, in other words, 10 sons, because Yosef had two, so 10 sons came forth from Binyamin, Yosef's brother. The Kula Nikru al Shmo. Now, all of Binyamin's sons, as we learn in the Chumash, were called names that were references to Yosef. Shenemar ubnei Binyamin, Bela, Becher, Ashbel, so on and so forth. Bela, Shenevla, Bein Umos. Why was Bela? Because Yosef, it was in a reference to Yosef that was swallowed among the nations. Becher, he was a captive. Gara Shagarbach Sanyas. He was put up. Venaman Shenam Bioser, who was very nice. Achi, he was very beautiful. Achi Varosh, Achi Uvaroshiu. Mupim Vachupim, Hulora Bukhupasivan Iloroisu Bukhupasova. Art Shayardu Levain Shayar Levain Umas Olam, that he went down and dwelled among the Umas and the Umas Olam. Amr Ikadamri Vaard Shepanov Domim Levered. That his complexion is very rosy, like a Vered. So we see that even though Yosef didn't have these 12 Shvatim himself, he had two kids. Binyamin had 10 kids, but all of Binyamin's sons were named after Yosef. So it's sort of as if Yosef had these 12 had these 12 sons, had 12 shvatim. Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, b'shosh amar lo paro liyosef, when paro said to Yosef, biladecha lo yoram ishes yado, that without your say-so, nobody will lift a hand in Mitzrayim. So Amar Sagnini Paro said, the Sagnini Paro said to him, Eved shalachu rabba besrim kesef, a servant who his master bought for $20, tamshilu aleinu, you're gonna impose him as a ruler on us. Amar lahem, gnune malchus ani roebo, I see these characteristics of royalty in him. So yes, he's worthy of it. So Tzagnini Paro says, well, if you are going to appoint him as a ruler, then it's kedai that he knows 70 languages. So Gavriel v'limdu shivim lashon. So Paro said, you're right, I'm going to test him tomorrow. Overnight, Gavriel Amalech, we saw a couple of days ago, he knows all shivim lashon. He came and he taught Yosef 70 languages. L'haya kagamar, he wasn't able to learn it though. Hosef lo achas mishmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At that point, he had one letter of the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu added to his name. He was called Yehosef. V'lomad, and then he was able to learn them. Shenemar, Edus b'Yehosef, Shomo b'Tzeisol Eretz Mitzrayim. How does the pasuk end? Sfas l'yadati eshma. So then he was able to understand. In other words, the language he didn't understand. Previously, he was able to understand after the hay was added to his name. The Mefarshim explained also that the 70 languages is alluded to in the pasuk of a year because the first and last letters of this pasuk are ayin, which is gematria of 70. Ulamachar called Lishna the Shani Paro Bade Ihadarle. Every language that Paro spoke to him, Yosef was able to respond in. Ishtoy Yu Balashna Kodesh, Yosef started to speak to Paro Lashna Kodesh, Loavayada, Yelovekayada Mayamar, Mayavamar. Paro didn't understand what Yosef was saying. Amar Le Agamre, teach it to me. So Agmare Vilagamar. He tried to teach it to Paro, but he couldn't learn it. Amar Le Ishtaboyeli Dilom Miglas. Swear, please, that you won't reveal the fact that I don't know Lashon HaKodesh. Ishabi lo, so Yosef swore to him, ki amar le avi ishbiani lemar, and then when Yosef said, I have to go outside of Eretz Mitzrayim to bury my father, because my father commanded that I bury him, amar le zil itshilash v'lasech. Paro says, okay, so you took a shvua, so go reneg on your shvua. So amar le vishal anami adidach, maybe I'll go and reneg on the shvua that I made to you, that I won't divulge that you didn't know Hebrew, that you didn't know Lashon HaKodesh. V'afagav d'lo nichale amar le ale kvar savicha kasher shbiacha. So Paro was basically backed into a corner, and even though he didn't want it, he didn't like it, he told Yosef, okay, I have no choice. I don't want you to renege on your shvua, so I have to let you go, and I have to let you go bury your father. So Rabbi Leibowitz will, God willing, continue from here tomorrow discussing what exactly Yehuda did. It was Mekayedesh Shem Shemayim Befar Hesya.